Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Charter.
Purdue lost all of its game time decisions Saturday, then lost the game, falling 34-13 to TCU in Ross-Ade Stadium. It has questions now entering the bye. Kyle Charter's here with Tom Dienhart, Brian Neubert. We'll stop by here in a couple of minutes. Purdue picked up a commitment as well over the weekend. We'll talk to him about that, get his impressions of the game as well. But let's start with Tom. I said it there in the open, Tom. Purdue had a lot of game time decisions. It lost all of those. And then with none of those guys available, Elijah Sindelar, Matt McCann, Jared Sparks, having lost Marcus Bailey earlier in the week, throw in the fact that you knew Tario Fuller wasn't going to be out there, Lorenzo Neal, basically six starters there, most of those veteran type of guys. And man, it left Purdue with a lot of inexperience out there on the field. And that's hard to do, especially against a quality team like TCU.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. A quality foe, Texas Christian, had 2 weeks to prep as well. Gary Patterson is a great coach, a super defensive mind. And again, he was going against a Purdue offense. As you noted, Kyle was awfully compromised with those key guys out, Fuller, McCann, Sindelar, Sparks. I mean, that's a lot of weapons not to have at your disposal if you're Jeff Brohm, especially up front, Matt McCann, the most experienced offensive lineman, play guard and tackle. And as we know, Kyle, that's an offensive line that's already challenged. You subtract McCann and it becomes even more compromised, obviously.
All right, so I tweeted this after the game, Tom, and I still feel this way. I don't feel like it was too reactionary. That I feel like Purdue at 1-2, its future for the rest of the season, now I'm not talking about as a program, but for the rest of the season is more bleak than it was at 0-3 last year. Because even at 0-3 last year, you had played close, and there were some signs in that Missouri game that maybe Purdue had found something offensively. I just leave this game feeling like there's a lot of answers, a lot of questions, I should say, with very few answers. And really, the one that stands out the most to me is still, and I feel like I'm beating this drum to death, is still the offensive line and whether Purdue can get that thing into a workable unit that can succeed enough in the Big Ten to allow the offense to score points.
Yeah, I think that's a good summation. That's the hot button position group without a doubt. Now, defensively, I thought Purdue played well enough, you know, for what, 2.5 quarters Saturday night. But time and again, of course, the defense spent a lot of time on the field and gave TCU or had to work against TCU on short fields as well. I don't know if you went back and looked at the time of possession, Kyle, look back at the number of plays each team ran. I think TCU ran like 84 plays. I think Purdue ran about 54. So, again, I think the defense got wore down. So, again, I think the defense can be solid and capable this year. But, again, back to the offense. As you said, that's going to be the key to the season, the offensive line in particular. And, again, it's hard to imagine the unit making appreciable progress this year. Maybe I'm underselling it. Maybe I'll be shocked. Maybe in another month, though, they'll really be getting a physical push. We'll see. But, again, I'll believe it when I see it. And that line, as you know, Kyle, is a football guy. And as listeners of this podcast know, in football, if you're not good up front, it doesn't matter if you have Joe Montana and Herschel Walker in your backfield. I mean, you got to have a good line to have a good offense, period.
Yeah, Purdue got beat on both sides of the ball. Along the line of scrimmage, only 23 yards of rushing offense for Purdue. It gave up more than 300. I agree with you on the defensive front. It's hard for me to grade those guys out because you just don't know. They wore down so much because they were on the field so often. The defense so often relies upon what the offense is doing for its own performance. So hard to make a full evaluation there, in my opinion. So Purdue goes into the bye here with all these injuries. Who are you most optimistic about Purdue getting back, and who do you think is most critical? I mean, obviously, Lorenzo Neal isn't close, it doesn't seem like. Marcus Bailey's not coming back this year. Tario Fuller probably weeks away. But of those guys who Purdue could get back, who's most important, and when do you think we'll have some answers on if those guys could return?
Well, that's Sindler without a doubt, obviously. And given the fact, you know, he was held out all of last week, he'll be obviously have nothing going on this week with the off week, and then he'll have another week going into Minnesota. So he'll have 3 weeks to make sure he gets through the concussion protocol. So I would suspect we'll see him under center when Minnesota comes to Ross Age Stadium September 28th for the Big Ten opener. You know, Jeff Brohm didn't lead us to believe on Thursday that Jared Sparks would be back soon. So, again, maybe Matt McCann's a guy who has a chance to return before Sparks. But, again, he may be out indefinitely as well with an ankle. So, again, I think Sindler is the guy I expect to see back among those we didn't see Saturday night. And the good news, Kyle, he's the most important guy. So I think as long as they have Sindler, Purdue's going to have at least a puncher's chance in most of these games to score some points and maybe get a win.
What did you think about Jack Plummer's performance?
Hard to grade it. Tough circumstance to be dropped into. To make your collegiate debut behind a work-in-progress offensive line against that defense. Plummer told us after the game he found out he was going to start on Friday. So, again, it's just really hard to fairly evaluate him under those circumstances. He did okay, goods and bads, as you would suspect. But, again, I think he was really compromised by the limitations of that offense. And then factoring, again, that TCU defense. And, boy, just a real cauldron to be dropped into as a redshirt freshman making their first career start.
Yeah, I think that's a difficult situation to be in. Purdue couldn't – they had some things go poorly early, a couple drop passes. You know, Rondell Moore even drops one that, you know, maybe is able to get a first down, perhaps even turn into a touchdown because of the kind of player he is. But they couldn't get the ball to playmakers, really. And is that, you know, part of it, I think, a credit to TCU. Part of it, you know, Purdue's offensive line. Part of it is that you have a young quarterback. You know, did you feel like TCU was doing anything in particular to really take away Rondell?
No, we asked Brohm after the game about that. I asked Plummer about that after the game as well. And, you know, they were rolling up their coverage on Rondell, bracketing him at times, doubling him. Plummer said they had some cloud coverage on him as well. So nothing I'm sure he's never seen before, honestly, and nothing that Purdue's never seen before at this point. Again, I think the level of defender TCU has coupled with, you know, an inexperienced quarterback working behind an iffy offensive line, I think had a lot to do with Moore's ineffectiveness, just 3 catches, I think, for 25 yards, Kyle. And you talked about that big drop early that stopped the drive. And then, of course, later, looked to have a pass and had it ripped out of his hand by a TCU defender as well. So just, you know, Moore had a rough night, and a lot of players had rough nights on Saturday night in Ross-Ade.
All right, give me a positive. Positive. Tell me something positive, Tom, please. I need something positive.
A couple for you. One on offense, Bryson Hopkins. made the few big plays that offense did, aside from the Ahmad Anderson 53-yard touchdown. Hats off to him, right? Redshirt freshman gets his first TD catch of his career from Plummer, his first TD toss. But, again, Bryson Hopkins, to me, was one guy, made some nice big catches for Purdue defensively. Early on, how about George Karloftis? I know we probably get tired of always mentioning that name, but, boy, he did all he could to set the offense up early, didn't he? Had a big TFL. Picked off the pass after it was broken up by Simeon Smiley. Had a sack in the first quarter as well. He was very active. So, again, Big George, Derek Barnes as well. Those were a couple guys for me on defense that stood out.
How about J.D. Dellinger? I mean,
you
want to pick out a guy who took some personal responsibility for his play and worked hard in a year to get better. It's not like Purdue's got like a kicking guru on its staff, right? I mean, this is a guy who took all this responsibility himself. I know he's just the kicker, but man, did he make a ton of improvements since last time we saw him as Purdue's full-time guy. Got to give a lot of credit to that guy for taking that on himself and making himself into a much better player.
Yeah, yeah, I guess you could have sulked when they bring in Spencer Evans from Baylor. He has the job, and you redshirt last year, but, you know, J.D. went to work and improved. He talked about how he worked in the off season when we were speaking with him during camp. Said his leg had gotten stronger, really wanted to be a kickoff guy, and lo and behold, he's the kickoff guy, regularly drilling touchbacks, and we saw that leg strength displayed on that big 53-yard field goal. Boy, what a weapon for an offense. It's going to need every point it can get, maybe. He can steal some points for you if your offense stalls. And a nice confidence builder for him, and it's good for the staff to know, hey, we can always trot J.D. out there if we get close to the 35-yard line, and maybe still have a chance to get 3 points.
Yeah. All right, thanks, Tom.
Take care, Kyle.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll get Brian's impressions on the game. Also talk to him a little bit about recruiting. We'll do that here in just a moment on Golden Black Radio.
Life doesn't come with a financial roadmap. It does come with a lot of bumps and red lights.
Steering clear of those doesn't have to be difficult. With First Source Bank's online money management tools, you can see all your financial accounts, balances, and transactions in one place. So you can easily set monthly budgets to help manage expenses and debt. Get the green light to a successful financial future with First Source's money management tools. First Source Bank, where better is better. Member FDIC.
Your neighborhood bar, 6th Street Dive Bar and Grill, is a perfect must-stop location on your way to and from the game at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette. Whether it be great food, authentic Tex-Mex, along with many Indiana favorites, served from 11 a.m. to 3 a.m. every day, sports, games, live music, trivia, or just fellow Boilermaker camaraderie, the Dive is the place to go. Don't miss Geeks Who Drink Trivia at 7:30 Tuesday nights and live local music without a cover charge at 10 o'clock Fridays and Saturdays. If it's college sports you crave, the 6th Street Dive has you covered there too with its multiple big screens. So dive on in to the 6th Street Dive at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette.
It's time to boiler up and join the Bronze Squad by gearing up with the best selection of Purdue apparel in stock only at Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Shop Follett's late on game day weekends. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945. If you can't make it to the game, shop online at FollettsPurdue.com.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
I'm Kyle here with Brian talking a little bit about Purdue's loss to TCU as it heads into the bye week. The Boilermakers also picked up a 2021 commitment. We'll talk to Brian about that here in just a moment. All right, Brian, have you ever seen an offense with so much youth on the field as the one that Purdue put out there on Saturday?
I'm sure I have, but just perhaps not as acute and not as starkly contrasted to what it's supposed to be. You know, this is a team that should have a fifth-year senior quarterback playing and should have had a fifth-year senior offensive lineman on an offensive line that isn't exactly flush with options. And it really showed. I mean, it also, I think, on Saturday, the areas where Purdue's vulnerabilities were laid most bare also lined up perfectly with the areas that TCU was best designed to twist the knife on. And, you know, I think that's sort of a lot of what went into it, but that was Purdue's reality. I mean, this is a team with very few seniors to begin with, and they happen to be very important ones, and they've been kind of decapitated of their experience to a certain extent. They were just put in a very difficult position, but you know, I thought they'd still find a way to be a little bit more competitive than they were, but you know, obviously it was a very difficult situation.
Decapitated, a gruesome way to put it, but I think accurate. as well.
There you go.
Where does Purdue get leadership from? I mean, you know, in a week here where you're coming off a bad loss, you've got a lot of time to stew over this thing. It doesn't have a lot of veterans who are healthy right now out there on the field. Who leads?
Well, I don't think leadership is the issue as much as it is just the simple practicalities of being shorthanded and, you know, physically at a disadvantage at some very important spots. You know, the line of scrimmage isn't going to be Purdue's thing this year. But things would be a lot better if the defense had Lorenzo Neal. Obviously, Marcus Bailey in its front seven, I'll count that as well. If the offensive line was A, further along or better, and at full strength. The Matt McCann thing, we're not even talking about it because of Elijah Sindelar and Marcus Bailey and Lorenzo Neal. But Matt McCann, you have configured things every which way during training camp to try to find the five guys you think give you the best chance to have a competitive offensive line, and you have two guys who are – you can even put in the realm descriptively of proven, and that's Matt McCann and Grant Hermans. And you lose one of them, and a vulnerability becomes an open wound, basically. And that's just a very difficult thing to overcome, because we can talk all we want about scheming an offense and generating ways to play to your strengths and play away from the opponent's strengths. But when you can't protect and you don't have the line of scrimmage, it's really, really difficult to do anything. And I think that's a large part of what went into Purdue's offensive problems the other night. Jack Plummer was under siege. I think he was pressured like 18 times or something like that, according to our Pro Football Focus numbers. When you're in your first start, you've never played before, and that's what you get put into, that's obviously not ideal. Against a good defense, like he was playing, you know, Central Michigan or somebody a little bit more user-friendly for your first start. This was a annually very good defensive program with a great defensive coach who knows how to find ways to take your disadvantages and turn them into significant advantages for himself.
It was a perfect storm for Jack Plummer. I mean, against a good defense.
Yeah.
I mean, look at his skill guys in interior offensive line in the age. Redshirt freshman, sophomore, albeit a good one in Rondale Moore. Freshman on the other side. Sophomore, former walk-on as your running back. And an interior offensive line that's a senior and 3 games ago was a defensive tackle. A sophomore center making his third start. And a sophomore right guard making his first career start. I mean, I don't know how much should be asked there. Certainly you'd like to be a little bit more competitive than you were, but there are certainly some issues there when you're playing that much youth. I mean, that is just a bad combination. What do you want to do when you have a first-year starter, Brian? What should your game plan be? It should be to simplify things by running the football, getting yourself into manageable third downs. But you can't do that you can't do it.
What this was going to be, if you ask me, and what it had to be, and what would have been Purdue's only chance, had it had Elijah Sindelar, this was going to be an all-timer. This was going to be Elijah Sindelar dropping back 70 times, throwing the ball 68 times. You know, Purdue might not win that way, but Purdue's going down with a hunk of flesh in its hands. It's going to make some big plays. It's going to get some yards. It's going to score. The game's going to be different. TCU is going to have more to worry about. It's going to be back on its heels more to defend the pass, so thus that might open up a little bit of running space. Purdue would have scored more than 13 points that way, but obviously that wasn't Purdue's reality. Purdue didn't have Elijah Sindelar. Purdue didn't have that option, but that's what it would have been, and that would have been your best chance, because this is not, you know, we can say it every which way we want to. This is not a Purdue team that's going to win offensively in a traditional manner this year, nor necessarily is this a program that's being built to win that way, to, you know, just line up, block, and get your 3 yards every time you hand the ball off. It's not going to be that way. And that's not the way it's been the first 2 years. The first 2 years, all the plays DJ Knox, Markell Jones, and them made, those were largely about spacing. Those were largely about the vertical passing game, setting up the run. Purdue just doesn't have that element right now. This isn't about the running backs. This isn't about anything about them. This is simply about what you can do offensively and what you are designed to do and what your passing game can set up. But Purdue cannot run on third and one, and that's a really difficult position to be in. I was surprised they kept trying because it's the definition of insanity in a lot of ways. But Purdue has to get to the point where it can be multidimensional in situations where it needs 1 or 2 yards. And the best way to do that from here on out is to pass the ball as effectively as you can. That sounds like rocket science, but I think that's just kind of the position they're in because the line of scrimmage is so unfriendly to them that it's just – and it's not the sort of thing that improves in season. It improves in June, and it improves over years in recruiting. It's not like you can – become bigger, more athletic, and more physical on the offensive line during a bye week. It doesn't happen. It doesn't work that way. So Purdue's got to make the best of it here. It's not just the physicality issue. This is not the most mobile offensive line either. This is not the most athletic. But this is not new. Purdue went through all of training camp knowing this was going to be, a real concern, and it has been a real concern and then some. And they've just got to make the best of it from here on out.
Yeah. There was some good news over the weekend. Purdue picked up a commitment on Sunday, the 1st of 2021, with Preston Terrell, the wide receiver from Brownsburg. That's a pretty early one, but Purdue grabs another wide receiver. That's a spot where the Boilermaker is able to pick up some guys, clearly. What can you tell me about the wide receiver from Brownsburg?
Yeah, he's a it's a lame comparison because they it's too obvious. From a Purdue perspective, but he really, there's a little bit of John Standiford in him. He's got that big, long sort of gliding gait to him. He's a good 6'3", 6'2", 6'3", somewhere in that vicinity. Got some length to him. A really smooth athlete, a really good overall athlete. Fast enough, I think. He was really, really good at Purdue's camp. You always have to kind of weigh things when you see guys in camp when you don't know necessarily who they were going up against, but he's at Brownsburg now. He's played some really good competition early in the season, done really well. Seems like a really good player, the sort of guy that, I've always said Purdue needs to get, the good enough player who has reason to want to come, who you can build a program around. And, Purdue's obviously done a really good job recruiting talent at wide receiver, so I don't think they're going to need him to come in and play right away. I think he's going to have to get bigger and stronger over time, obviously, but a really good overall athlete, really good ball skills, really good overall athleticism, a guy who could conceivably have drawn recruiting attention for both sides of the ball. But I think from a wide receiver perspective, he's exactly what you look for in a lot of ways as like an outside type of guy.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Brian.
No problem.
And more on the site at goldandblack.com. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll put a wrap on this podcast. We'll do that here in just a moment on Gold and Black Radio. As soon as I can find the button to hit, hold on 1 second. All right, back in 1 moment here to put a wrap on this one. This is Gold and Black Radio.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa, not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
The Charters team at RE/MAX Ability Plus is your experienced real estate group in Greater Lafayette. If you're looking to buy, sell, upsize, downsize, anything else, give me a call or text at 765-412-5217 or email at kyle@chartersteam.com. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, Industrial and Classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish, and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette. Welcome to our table.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics.
Plenty of coverage at goldenblack.com as the Boilermakers come off that loss against TCU. Recaps, grades, and much more on the site. Also, as Purdue heads in to this bye week. All right, that'll do it for our podcast for this week. No pregame show, of course, this week, so look for us back here again next Monday. Thanks to our sponsors, East End Grill, First Source Bank, Charters Team, Remax Ability Plus, Follett's, the Sixth Street Dive, and Purdue Federal Credit Union. Back again on Monday for Tom Deanhart and Brian Newbern. I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.